Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
You're listening to Blue Jays Nation Radio
with Cam Lewis and Tyler Yaremchuk,
a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
Welcome in episode 74, Blue Jays Nation Radio. Tyler Yaremchuk, Cam Lewis. As always, the pod is brought to you by DoorDash. Ding dong. Promo code BJNPODDD for gets first-time users of the app, 25% off and no delivery fees. Coombsy, that was not an enjoyable series.
What, the playoff series that you're watching in Los Angeles currently or the Blue Jays series?
Both. Not enjoyable right now.
you sound pretty banged up right now. You want to let everybody know what's going on?
Oh, well, I'm just in LA, you know, with the Oilers Nation crew watching a little bit of hockey. My voice is a little raspy, obviously. That would happen after watching a couple of playoff games in a road city and yelling at the people of Los Angeles consistently. But that would explain the raspy voice, Cam.
And you went to a Los Angeles Angels baseball game. What's the scouting report there? Are they actually good?
Oh, well, they got waxed on the game we went to. It was like 7-3 for the Nationals. But Shohei Ohtani in person is so cool. Like watching that guy play, he only had the one hit and he was DHing, but still just like getting to see him live was like a sporting fan bucket list moment. I really enjoyed it. And that stadium is beautiful. Have you ever been?
It is. It's in the middle of nowhere. Like it's kind of a bit of a trek to get there. And, you know, Dodger Stadium's obviously the better location and the better aesthetic, but Angel Stadium's a vibe too. It's super chill. And then they get the rally monkey going. It's pretty fun.
Yeah. Like it did take an hour to get out there from like downtown Los Angeles. So that was a bit of a pain in the ass, but like once you're out there and you're in the stadium, I don't know, like the fountain's cool. When they hit a home run, they got like the smoke and the flames shooting out as well. Like Angels fans seem to be pretty cool. The whole vibe of the stadium was like actually really neat.
Did you go to Disney after? Or before?
I should have. Hey, no, we no Disneyland.
You should have done the whole Anaheim experience. That's a shame.
Yeah, that would have been good content. Like the Oilers Nation boys take on Disneyland, you know, get their photo with Mickey and whatnot. But anyways, let's get back to the task at hand. And that is recapping a series that was very far from ideal for the Toronto Blue Jays. Dropping 3-0. Oh, my Lord, Coombsy. My voice is already giving out like 2 minutes in.
I'm going to have to carry this one, eh?
Yeah, you are absolutely going to have to carry this one. But the Jays dropped 3-4 to the Cleveland Guardians. And, you know, you had Barrios' struggles in game one. The offense is still kind of sputtering along. I was hoping that a Teoscar Hernandez return would really spark them. And he was good. But still, like the offense, it's weird that this is still a concern.
Yeah, it was a really unfortunate series because we all had this circled on our calendars as the kind of the light spot at the end of the difficult stretch. They went into the 20 games in 20 days exclusively against playoff teams. It was Boston, Houston, the Yankees. And then you get to the end of it and it's Cleveland. And we all just sort of thought, okay, Cleveland's not very good. They're just going to roll over and the Jays are going to, you know, take 3 or 4 here. No problem. And that's not what happened. Cleveland's not that bad. I mean, they have a pretty good pitching rotation. They're underperforming a bit as many pitchers are, but their offense is really quite good. It's a very different Cleveland team than the one, you know, we've known in the past. Like think about the 2016 team, which was almost all pitching. You know, they had a bit of offense, but it was all those huge pitchers that were impossible to hit and Andrew Miller in the bullpen. But now they have, you know, what was like 6 guys batting with like an OPS over 900, and the Jays have, you know, not a single one, not even Vladdy and George Springer, who are really the only guys hitting. They're not even up there. So yeah, Cleveland are a pretty decent team, and the way the Jays are rolling right now, you know, they're not going to roll over anybody. If the Jays are playing the way they are right now and they go into a series against Baltimore, they're not going to roll over Baltimore. And that's just the reality, is the Jays haven't come anywhere close really recently to playing up to their potential. And that's largely comes down to the bats. I mean, the pitching has been pretty good this year so far. It's been probably about where you'd expect it to be. It could be a bit better, but you know, not terrible, better than where it was last year. And then the bats have just been non-existent. It's been shocking to see, because it's been a month now.
Yeah, like we're going to do like a little month recap here. But yeah, I just, if you would have told me 30 days ago that, hey, the big storylines are going to be the Blue Jays bats just not being able to get going, I wouldn't have believed you. Like, that, it shouldn't be a problem for this baseball team with the depth they have. Like, I think we talked about this in our season preview. It was like, hey, you know, even if someone gets hurt, even if someone's struggling, they're so deep that they should be able to kind of pick each other up and keep rolling. And I'm flabbergasted that this lineup can't consistently produce offense better than they currently are. And like, you know, they had a couple of okay games. Like, you score 5 in the opening loss to Cleveland, you score 8 in game 1 of the doubleheader. Like, yeah, that's all good. But again, this should have been a series that the Jays took 3 or 4 of from, not a series where they're dropping 3 or 4. You know?
Yeah. 100%. The first start, you know, on Thursday night, Brios has a rough go, but it's still a completely winnable game. I mean, Cleveland put 6 runs on the board and the Jays went, I think, 1 for 10 in that game with runners in scoring position. They almost pulled off a comeback in the 7th inning. They leave guys on base. And it's the same thing in the Sunday game. Like, Manoah doesn't have his best stuff, but he still, you know, grinds through 5 innings and only allows 2 runs. More than fine for winning. Cleveland ends up scoring 4 runs all told. And the Jays only score 3. And it looked in the first inning like they were going to, you know, blow the kick the door down against some random spot starter that Cleveland brought up. But again, there's just no killer instinct. The bats just don't drive the runs in. And it's crazy shocking to see. And like you said, we said the strength of this team is they can pretty much navigate an injury to anybody. And that's very clearly not the case right now, because, you know, Teoscar got hurt and the entire lineup imploded. There's only 2 guys hitting. Like, you have Vladdy Jr. and George Springer, OPS of 882 and 858 respectively. And then the next best guy for an everyday player is Espinal at 790. Jeez. And then it's Zach Collins at 733, and everybody else is under 700. You have Chapman, Alejandro Kirk, Lourdes Gurriel, and Bo Bichette just way below where they're supposed to be. And you can't have that many guys going cold at the same time.
And they got to turn it around in a hurry here, because this is an important week. Like, again, we talked about the big stretch with the 20 playoff teams and all that, or 20 games against playoff teams, but you have the Yankees and the Rays coming up this week. And it's not like the Jays are really in a spot. And I'm trying not to sound like overreactiony or hot takey, but like, this is one of those weeks that we'll probably look back on at the end of the season and be like, it defined the 2022 season for the Toronto Blue Jays, because you've already dropped 2 or 3 to the Yankees a week ago. You can't go into, even though it's a 2-game set, you can't go into that and not hit and drop 2 more games to them. That can't be an option for this team right now. They're too good to allow that to happen.
No, they have to do well in these head-to-heads. And yeah, it's not an ideal time to be getting cold, because like you said, it's Yankees and then Tampa. The Rays are killing it right now. They're on fire, and that's 5 in a row. The team's, you know, 17 and 13. Yeah. You're going into a 5-game stretch against, I would argue, are the best 2 teams in the American League. I still think the Jays are right up there as well. I think all 3 of the best teams in the league are in the American League East, Yankees, Rays, and Blue Jays. But you know, you're 4 games over 500 now, and you go into this 5-game stretch and you do say like a 1-4, for example, then you're right there at 500. And that's really not where you want to be just like in mid-May, especially given the start the team had too. Like, they weren't playing their best, but they won a bunch of games they maybe shouldn't have. You know, think about opening day, that comeback, all of these tight 1-run games that Jordan Romano pretty much, you know, he was outrageously good for a few weeks there. Then you don't want to throw that away. You got off to such a good start. You don't want to just lose it now. You want to just like find a way to grind out some wins. You're not at your best right now, but just find a way to score some runs and win these head-to-heads. They're so important.
They're very important. Another thing here, we're going to get into a 3-up, 3-down kind of recapping the first month of the season, but Hyunjin Ryu got not good down in Buffalo. Hey,
Yeah, it wasn't exactly what you'd like to see. So Ryu does a spot start and goes four innings, allows five hits, two earned runs. But the positive thing is he didn't walk anybody and he struck out six guys. So that's a nice strikeout to walk ratio. But five hits, a lot of which was loud contact in AAA, is not exactly what you want to see. So not overly encouraging stuff from Ryu just yet.
20 games in 20 days. Against playoff teams plus Cleveland, they go 11-9. I saw you even put out a tweet and you said, on a scale of thumbs up to thumbs down with whatever emoji you'd like, how do you feel about the Blue Jays season here? And one, the response is great because our followers always come through with that. But what's your emoji response, Coomzee, to the first month of the season?
There's a few good ones so far. There's the one guy.
I love how we're going to attempt to describe. We're going to attempt to describe emojis on a podcast as well.
Yeah, we're going to, this is, I didn't really think this through and I did something very visual, but I mean, if you want to go and see, just go to the tweet. I did it today and you'll see all the replies, but I think one that actually is kind of fitting here is the sleeping emoji. That kind of shows where they've been lately. I wouldn't say that's where they were in the first couple of weeks of the year when they were coming back from, you know, 7-run leads. But there's another one, is the guy holding his chin and doing the thinking, I think is a good one too, because the team's been kind of all over the grid. And then someone else here has the clown emoji. There's also the face there's the face that has no mouth. That's a pretty good one too. A face palm one. Someone posted the scale. I don't really know what the scale means.
Yeah, someone had the hourglass thing, and I took that as like, you know, time's ticking here. Like, we got to pick it up.
Is it?
Let's go.
I don't think it is.
I think it's really a little too early for that.
I don't think you usually like to draw major conclusions about the team after just 1 month. Usually after 2 months, you can draw some pretty big conclusions. Like, we can draw some conclusions by now, but I would say, yeah, my face for right now is probably the neutral face. It's been a bit, or how about the roller coaster emoji? Cause that's what it's been so far. It's been a bit of a fucking ride. It feels like it's been longer than a month. I will say that.
Yeah. It really does. So looking at the Blue Jays after a month, they're 17-13, slightly better than last year where they were 16-14. You got some other numbers here to kind of round up and recap how the Jays are sitting after 30 days or just over 30 days of baseball.
Yeah, so the runs per game is obviously the hugely different part this year from last. And it's, you know, anybody can point this out. Right now, the Jays are at 3.83 runs per game, which is slightly below league average. You do not expect this offense to be slightly below league average. I don't know if we necessarily expected them to do 5.29 runs per game like they did all told last year, given, you know, you don't have Marcus Semien in your lineup putting up an MVP caliber season. You maybe don't expect Vladdy to necessarily have the same season he did last year, but I think we all thought the Jays were going to have an above average offense, and I imagine it will round into shape eventually and become that offense. But then the pitching, also slightly below league average, but pretty much in line with where it was last year. They have a 3.83 ERA so far through a month, and they had a 3.91 ERA all told last year. I kind of thought the pitching was going to be a bit better. It's a bit surprising to see that it's below average all told. But then again, if you also look at it, like, it's been so all over the grid. I mean, Kevin Gausman's been literally unhittable. Looks like a Cy Young candidate. Alek Manoah's put up a quality start in all but one outings. And even that one outing this weekend wasn't that bad. But then you also have, you know, Ryu and Kikuchi have been lit up a few times. Some other guys in the bullpen have also been lit up. Like, it seems like when it rains, it really does poor for the Jays. When they have a bad bullpen game, they allow, you know, 7 runs, and that's just the way it is. I think it kind of inflates the team ERA a little bit. I think their pitching has shown to be a little bit better than that number shows, but still, all told, I mean, below average in both categories. It's not really what you want to see after a month, but we won't draw too sweeping conclusions. There's been enough positives to grab that I don't think anyone should be anywhere near panicking personally.
Well, so we're doing our three up, three down for kind of the season as a whole. And that's the first down, is the inconsistent pitching. So Kikuchi, he's got a good start under his belt, but inconsistent. Ryu, same thing. Now he's hurt. Barrios has been also inconsistent. And that's the concerning one for me, and not concerning in the sense that I don't think he can bounce back, because I certainly think he can, but concerning from the perspective of, this guy's supposed to be our ace, right? Like, if there was one guy in the rotation who I really wasn't, like, at beginning of the season, if I would have asked you, rank the Blue Jays starters in terms of who you're the most confident in, Barrios would have been at the top of the list for me. Gausman's coming back into the AL East, and I know he's got a great track record. He had some good years out in San Fran, all that stuff, but he wouldn't have been above Berríos. Manoah would have been, hey, he's a young arm. You don't know what you're going to get in year two when people suddenly have deeper and more in-depth scouting reports on him. So Manoah wouldn't have been at the top of the list, and Kikuchi and Ryu certainly wouldn't have. So Berríos, like, if we're talking about the first down being that three pitchers have been inconsistent for them, the Berríos angle of it is stunning to me.
Yeah, the Berríos thing is definitely the most worrying of the rotation. I think Ryu's been disappointing because we hoped he would bounce back or at least be like playable, but the way it looked through his first couple starts is that he's no longer a big league pitcher. But I mean, again, I'm not gonna draw that conclusion just yet. We're a ways away. Kikuchi's a number five starter, whatever it is, what it is. You're gonna get some bad starts. It's not the end of the world. But Jose Berríos, this is this is the guy the Jays signed to a 7-year contract, the biggest contract for a pitcher in franchise history. And you look at his Baseball Savant page and everything is blue, which means he's in the poor category, except for his chase rate's been pretty good, and that's kind of what saved him from really struggling. But, you know, the opposing exit velocity is really high. The hard hit percentage is very high. The expected batting average, the expected slugging percentage, the expected OPS, barrel rate, all of it is very high, and he's been the benefactor of very good defense, and that's worrying. You look at all the metrics too, like the velocity is kind of the same. Spin rate's pretty similar to last year, and it's very puzzling as to why he's kind of getting teed up a little bit. I would wonder if he's pitching through some kind of injury or if he has a blister or something like that. I've seen people mention that on Twitter. I don't know the mechanics of pitching well enough to see the very slight differences between when he was doing well last year and now. But that's definitely the most worrying one for me. And again, I'm not going to draw a conclusion after a month, but I'm not too devastated to see Ryu and Kikuchi be ho-hum. But you really do not want to see Jose Berríos struggling the way he has been. So
second down is the bats. And you had a couple of guys highlighted specifically in terms of players who are struggling. For me, it's sort of the similar thing to the pitching where, you know, you can talk about how a Chapman is struggling and things like that, but I'm stunned that that Bo Bichette's off to the start that he is. Like, this is a guy who, again, should have been a consistent driver of this offense. And obviously you can't pin offensive struggles on one player in baseball. That's not how this works. But Bo has really, really been fighting it at times this year.
Yeah, Bo does not look the same at the plate at all as we've seen him throughout his career. I don't remember Bo going on a prolonged cold streak like this ever before, to be honest with you. The two other ones that kind of stand out are Gurriel and Chapman. Like, we hope that Chapman could come in and provide something similar to the offense that Semien did last year. I think we were kind of hoping, okay, this is going to be an aggregate thing. Chapman's going to come in and be pretty good, and then we're going to get, knock on wood, healthy George Springer, and that's also going to compensate for the loss of Semien. But, you know, Chapman and Gurriel, two guys who are historically and notoriously streaky guys. They strike out a lot. It is what it is. But with Bo, it's like, man, he's walked 5 times and struck out 34 times. His on-base percentage is .267. So yeah, he's not getting on base. He looks lost at the plate. Like, it looks like every time he comes up, no matter where the first pitch is, he's going to swing no matter what. Yeah. And not only is he swinging at, you know, a hard slider that busts down and it's really hard to hit, and it's like, oh fuck, you got to tip your hat, that was a great pitch. He's swinging through like fastballs, and it's just something you never see. And it kind of makes you wonder, like, you know, when Dante Bichette was on the bench and he was working with guys, you know, they were hitting a lot better. I mean, I know he wasn't around last year. It was the 2020 COVID season, but it's an interesting question to ask. Does the team kind of miss that coaching from Dante Bichette? I don't know. Like, but it's
Bo specifically miss it even, right? Like, you'd imagine it's his dad. He's still talking to him and whatnot, but right, maybe having him around was like a bigger benefit than we thought it was.
Yeah, the Dante Bichette was on the radio recently. I think it was last week, maybe 2 weeks ago. He was talking about Bo's struggles, and he pointed out very clearly. He was like, Bo's pressing. He's trying way too hard to do too much. Like, he's really got to simplify and stop trying to hit a 5-run home run every time he comes up to bat. Like, shorten the swing, take a few pitches. That's another thing. The Jays are, it seems like they don't take any pitches. It seems like
they're not good at working counts.
No, not at all. It seems because their strikeout rate is so high and their walk rate is so low. It's so different than last year. Yeah. And last year they saw so many pitches and they would burn the other team's starter out by the fifth inning. And that's not happening now. It's a completely different approach. It reminds me, it actually kind of looks a lot like the early 2010s Jays when you had guys like Brett Lowry and Colby Rasmus in the lineup and they would just swing at everything. And it kind of reminds me of that. But again, I'm going to say this 9 million times because I don't want to get called out for being a fucking hot take artist or overreacting. But it's been a month. But geez, like a lot of really, really disappointing trends so far. They'll probably turn it around. But oof.
Third down. The Yankees are good. That's no bueno.
Yeah, that fucking sucks. It's a shame. The Red Sox have fallen off a cliff. They're 10-19. They could bounce back.
At least
back.
One of the good teams in this division is bad, right? Like at least we're getting that one.
At least one team's bad, but to offset that, you've got the Twins bouncing back. They're 18-11 to make the wild card a little bit more complicated. And then the Angels are also 19-11. So through a month, what you have is the Yankees and Rays look amazing. They're 1-2 in the AL. In my opinion, the White Sox have struggled a bit. I don't think Cleveland's that bad. Minnesota is 18-11. So there's three teams in the mix, I think, in the Central as well that could be playoff teams. And then the Angels and Houston. Seattle's a little bit cold to start the year, 13-16. But it looks like you could realistically have nine teams fighting for playoff spots. And then the 10th team would be Boston, who could hypothetically still come back because it's the Red Sox. They do this occasionally. But it's a very competitive playing field. We all kind of thought, oh yeah, they've expanded it to six teams in the American League. The Jays are in no matter what. Well, that's not necessarily the case. The Jays are in the AL East and they play all these hard teams all the time. And, you know, the Twins and the White Sox have the benefit of playing Kansas City and Detroit. Whereas the teams in the West, they get to play Texas and they get to play Oakland. Whereas, you know, with the Jays, I'm not sure. I don't even think Baltimore is quite as bad as they used to be anymore. Yeah. And they're going to call up a whole bunch of guys, mid-season top prospects. They're not going to be a supremely easy team to beat. So, yeah, I guess like circling all the way back, you got these head-to-head games coming up, Yankees and Rays, and you really don't want to fuck them up.
Let's get to the ups, though, for the season so far. And I love this first one. Let's get some positivity going on this podcast.
Yeah, good vibes, good vibes.
Last year at this time, literally all we bitched about was the bullpen. And it feels good to not have to bitch about the bullpen.
Yeah, the Jays, you look at their run differential. They're 115 runs scored, 125 against. So their Pythagorean wins loss has them at 14-16. You'd expect them to be a little under 500 based on the way they played thus far, but their bullpen has won them some games. And I mean, it's not just their bullpen, obviously. It's the bats too. The bats showed up in these games. Think about, you know, the opening day start with Barrios melting down and the bullpen comes down and comes in and pretty much locks it down for like seven innings after that, eight innings after that. And the bats gives the bats a chance to come back. And then, you know, we had for about a 2-week stretch there, Jordan Romano pitching literally every day. And at some point these guys are going to burn out. And I think we've seen it a bit recently. Guys finally getting tagged for runs like Tim Mesa allows a home run in Cleveland, that kind of thing. But, you know, you can't complain about the bullpen at all. They had guys pitching so much and they got the job done and the Jays are overachieving based on the way they played. And the big reason for that is this bullpen.
Second up we got for the season. We talked about the inconsistent parts of the rotation. Okay. Well, the consistent parts of the rotation have been Kevin Gausman and Alek Manoah. And Manoah to me very well might be the biggest positive of the year from the Jays so far, just because again, I had, and whether they were right or wrong concerns, I had concerns to start the year that like, hey, you don't know what you're going to get out of a guy after a strong rookie season. Like, there are a lot of players in all sorts of sports who come on and they burst onto the scene and then they start to fizzle out. Okay, well, Manoah is not fizzling out at all. And I don't think, I don't have any concerns that he will at any point. I think this guy is a legit front of the rotation starter. And Kevin Gausman, I mean, people talked about how, you know, how are you going to replace Robbie Ray? Okay, well, Kevin Gausman looks like a Cy Young winner too now.
Yeah, Kevin Gausman has pitched better so far this season than Robbie Ray last year. And that is not an indictment against Robbie Ray. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, Robbie Ray had a mediocre Cy Young season. No, he was fucking fantastic last year. But Kevin Gausman's come in. He's been something else, man. Like his ERA 2.13. that's a balloon compared to what his FIP suggests he should be. His fielding independent pitching ERA is 0.73. He's striking out 10.9 guys per nine innings, and he's walking 0.2. He's walked one guy through 38 innings, and he still has yet to give up a home run. And then Manoah, like you said, he comes out guns a blazing last year. You kind of wonder, oh geez, maybe this is like a rookie season sprint. He's got a bunch of testosterone and adrenaline. He's really, really in the mix. But no, he's been just as good this year too. He's got a 1.75 ERA, and then he goes and has a difficult outing in Cleveland, And still, like, Alek Manoah's version of a bad outing is grinding through five innings and allowing two runs. That's very good. So the fact that the Jays have these two guys at the top is a very big positive. There's been three kind of enigmas behind them, though I won't. I think Ross Stripling has done a very good job. We kind of haven't mentioned him. Kind of just kind of falls under the radar. I think he's done a good job, too. But at least, the very least, you have these two outings where you're like, okay, like, it's you kind of expect to win when Gausman and Manoah are pitching. So knock on wood, nothing happens and these guys are healthy for the whole year, because that's a great boon to have. Like, I remember in 2020 in the COVID shortened year, Ryu was the only pitcher where you thought they can win this game. Every other starter, until they got Taijuan Walker at the deadline, every other starter, it was kind of a coin flip. You had Tanner Roark or Chase Anderson or fucking Thomas Hatch or Trent Thornton or whoever going out, and you're like, oh geez, like, only one guy in this rotation is anything close to a guarantee. Now they've got two, so that's great.
Yeah, that gets a thumbs up from me. All right, third up we got is Santiago Espinal, who is the only player in this lineup who has any sort of ability to hit in the clutch.
Santiago Espinal, after 1 month, and I'm looking at Baseball Reference, so FanGraphs might have something different, but whatever. Santiago Espinal leads Blue Jays position players and wins above replacement after 1 month. I don't think.
I don't even know how I feel about that.
I don't know. I don't know if anybody would have expected that, but it's. I think it's just. I mean, we can also hand out positives to some other position players, and I'll rattle some stuff off quick. George Springer has been great this year, and he's been healthy. Knock on wood that continues. I think Vladdy's been still pretty good, not quite as good as last year, obviously, but whatever. Completely reasonable. Alejandro Kirk, his hitting isn't quite there, but he's been so much better defensively this year than in his first few seasons in the league. So that's great. He's done a really good job compensating for Danny Jansen's injury. But the one who really stands out is Espinal. I mean, for the longest time, he just looked like kind of a guy on the edge of the 40-man roster. Is he an everyday player, a bench guy? Like, you know, is he kind of like a Mike McCoy, John McDonald type? Who is he? But he's turned into a good everyday player. Like, there really isn't even much thought about him platooning with Cabin Biggio when Cabin Biggio returns from whatever he has going on. Espinal's got a 790 OPS, and he's struck out 19 times and he's walked 11. Like, that's a good rate. And his defense has been sublime. Like, I think you can make the argument that the Jays would probably be better off defensively if he's playing short and Bo's playing second. But the Jays have found themselves, it looks like, a pretty legit player here. And he always seems to come up in the clutch as well. It always seems when they have a rally, Santiago Espinal is in the middle of it. And it's nice the Jays have gone and found themselves one of these kind of random guys. Like, hitting on top prospects like Bo and Vlad, that's great. But hitting on these random, under-the-radar, no hype prospects is a big win.
Yeah, I'm with you 100% on that one. All right, Coombsy, let's wrap this thing up with our look ahead brought to you by PointsBet Canada. Head over to PointsBet Canada. Are the Jays, they don't have odds up yet for Tuesday's game, but when they do, they got a neat little same game parlay thing actually that I've been tinkering with. And it's pretty cool how you can like stack up like Bo to get a hit, Jays to cover the run line and the over. Anyways, I'm going off on a weird gambling tangent.
Stack those things, really? Bo getting a hit? Are you sure?
Why not? Why not? The payout's juicy, Coombsy. Come on. Two games coming up against the Yankees. It's Kikuchi versus Severino and then Barrios versus Talion. And then you get a day off before heading to Tampa Bay. But this is a big two games. If you get the split, I don't think anyone's going to complain. You absolutely cannot get swept. But when you look at the matchup in that first game of Kikuchi versus Severino, it's kind of like, ooh, game one's going to be like a tough, tough one. And then you're going to need Jose Barrios to come through in game two.
Yeah, I mean, you had Kikuchi put up a good start against the Yankees last time around. Can you do that twice in a row? This is going to be the third time the Yanks have seen him. And Severino has technically, I guess, been New York's worst starter. He's got a 3.75 ERA. That's a testament to how good New York's pitching has been. That a 3.75 ERA guy who has a 3.78 FIP, so he's right where you'd expect him to be, is their worst starter. And that's not a bad starter. So the Jays are going to need Kikuchi to do what he did last time. Again, that's a big ask. They've seen him three times this year. Barrios, I mean, he hasn't really had a great outing yet this year. He's allowed a lot of hard contact. And I guess you just have to, you pretty much need to split here. Like this whole five game stretch, two with New York, three with Tampa. It sounds lame to say it, but I'm hoping for two wins. I'm hoping for two in the
But the last time you were pessimistic of going into a series, was against Houston and they rolled over the Astros. So, you know,
When you don't expect it. Yeah. Maybe, maybe this is when the bats blow up. Nobody expects it to happen. They're not going to tee off on two good Yankee pitchers. They're not going to tee off on the Rays at the trough. Maybe they will. Who knows?
That's the beauty of baseball.
Believe in the bats. The beauty of baseball. You can't predict ball. You never know. The Jays bats are going to wake up when they go to fucking Tampa. They're going to tee off for 37 runs.
I love it. All right. Coombsy, good stuff, my man. You enjoy this quick little two-gamer against the Yankees, and we'll chat again later in the week.
Sounds good. Best wishes.
Thanks for tuning in to Blue Jays Nation Radio, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.